Welcome to another edition of Revealing the Truth with Brandon Wells. You know, a while back, and I do mean, like 2008, 2009, we had this whole thing where Walmart stores were being shut down, and under the presumption that they were going to basically fix things or whatever. And whenever, people started noticing this, they said that, Walmarts are really, really, number one, they're really big stores. And number two is the fact that, there was like a military exercise at the time called Jade Helm. And this is like in Texas and everything. And what they were suggesting is that it is connected to the FEMA concentration camps. And so, for instance, for those of you who don't know, apparently FEMA has been buying up coffins and things like that for a long time. And the question, of course, arises, why would they be buying a bunch of coffins and such? So it's kind of like the idea of preparing for something really big and really catastrophic. Now, mind you, this is in 2008, 2009 era, maybe 2010. But it still arises a lot of questions. One of which recently has arisen is the fact that Walmart has underground tunnels. And apparently there's been videos of, truck drivers going through Walmart underground tunnels, proving, in fact, that they, in fact, do have underground tunnels, regardless of the fact that there are people out there who would suggest that they do not. Now, that being said, supposedly the thing is that it's also been linked to human trafficking. And what a wonderful way to traffic in people in and out through underground tunnels without, obviously the authorities or whatever being alerted to this. And, obviously it would go completely under the radar with a lot of things. So it's one of the things where, I'm not going to say that it's up for grabs, but obviously there is something to it. I mean, I recently saw a video, this is about maybe almost a month ago, roughly, and it was kind of disturbing where it was a video. It was about the Walmart that's, close to where I live and, literally up the road and everything. And it was basically like how people, would go in there and somehow they would vanish and you'd never hear from them again, which begs the question. I mean, I know that there are, people obviously, especially like with women and children and everything, have to really be careful about the human trafficking element. And, there's been multiple videos on TikTok of women basically saying, well, I saw this guy in a Walmart. For whatever reason, it's always in a Walmart. You never hear about this in Target for some strange reason. But nonetheless, they'll sit there and say, well, I was alerted by this and saw this and whatever. And the other thing is there's also videos of Walmart employees literally like crossing the line whenever it comes to basically preventing somebody from essentially like leaving the premises, even though, they purchased their stuff and, these associates think that, hey, you've got to show your receipt. If you've already purchased it, legally speaking, you do not have to show them anything. But for whatever reason, they seem, at best to literally try to prevent somebody from leaving, which if that's the case, then, the person that they're trying to prevent actually has legal grounds to sue the living daylights out of Walmart. Now, the underground tunnel thing, it's a whole other thing. That it does raise a lot of questions, to say the least. So in 2015, it says news of the Army's Operation Jade Helm stirred up widespread fears of deep trust of the American government and a sizable block of the public. It says thousands of tweets, dozens of online publications, and plenty of commenters sounded the alarm of impending military takeover. So a lot of people said it might be like a Red Dawn type of situation. Now many saw the exercise that was Jade Helm as being the first step towards a long-awaited imposition of martial law within the United States, with the official story about the exercise serving as a cover for the U.S. military mobilization to invade Texas and seize citizens' guns, and there was even talk of moving people into FEMA concentration camps and abandoned Walmarts if necessary. So there was a lot of Walmarts that were closing. At the time, I think it was like 20 Walmart stores that were closing, which raised a lot of suspicion. And then when you actually look at the fact that the FEMA, you know, concentration camp thing is a real thing, and you look at all these, you know, possibilities of coffins and things like that, it does raise up a lot of questions, to say the least. And with recent, with obviously, you know, with what happened during 2020, you know, and the plandemic, as I would like to call it, says members of Texas congressional delegation at the time expressed concern over this exercise, and this included Senator Ted Cruz and U.S. Representative Louis Gohmert, and this which essentially separated from the Texas National Guard, and this is in April of 2015, and it's hard to believe how long ago that was. It's important that people in Texas knew that their safety, constitutional rights, private rights, and things like that, and civil liberties, will not be infringed upon. And this is like being written by the TSG commander. Now, participants of this, they carried heavy weapons during the exercise, but reportedly only used blank ammunition. And some soldiers controversially used civilian vehicles and wore civilian clothes during the exercise. Increasingly, the suspicion would arouse that the safety and the purpose of the operation. Meanwhile, the USASOC claimed that there were exercise monitors ensuring safety measures at all times. Now, the Federal Emergency Management Agency is, quite frankly, another form of the secret government. And this agency has powers and authorities that basically go well beyond any other agency within the nation. And apparently, what can they do? And they can suspend laws, it can move entire populations, it can arrest and detain citizens without a warrant, and it can hold them without even a trial, and it can seize property, food supplies, and transportation systems, and it can suspend the Constitution of the United States. Now, this is really scary if you think about it. I mean, you really want to get down to it, it can suspend a heck of a lot. It has a lot more broad sweeping power than it should. Case in point, if you ever saw the 1998 The X-Files Fight the Future movie, where you listen to Dr. Alvin Kurzweil, played by the late great Martin Landau, he talks about FEMA. You know, like, how does such an agency have such broad sweeping power? And it says, when the first concept had been presented in its original mission, this was to assure the survivability of the United States government in the event of a nuclear attack. Now, we can argue, I mean, we could talk about how the United States government essentially was overtaken in the 1800s, you know, by bankers. And so it's basically the United States is revered as a corporation and not an actual, you know, country. Its secondary function was to be federal coordinating body during times of domestic disasters, earthquakes, floods, etc. These disasters consisted of, you know, things like, you know, hurricanes and floods and stuff like that. But the secret, black helicopters that are reportedly throughout the United States, mainly in the West California, Washington, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Colorado areas, are flown by FEMA personnel. Now, side note, whenever shortly around 9/11 and around that time, I was in my 20s at the time, my late 20s, and I remember seeing black helicopters without the FAA insignia on them. So I did see actual black helicopters, and this is in North Carolina, so I thought that was kind of scary, if not very particular, or peculiar, I should say. It has been given the responsibility for many new national disasters, such as forest fires, home heating emergencies, refugee situations, riots, etc. It works in combination with the 6th Army in the West. A series of executive orders was used in order to create FEMA in the first place. It does not matter whether an executive order is constitutional or not. It becomes a law simply by being published in the Federal Registry. These orders go around Congress. So there are over 800 FEMA prison camps in the United States. And these are all fully operational and ready to receive prisoners. They're all staffed and even surrounded by full-time guards, but they are all empty presently. These camps are due to being operated by Federal Emergency Management Agency, should martial law ever be implemented in the United States, all it would take is a presidential signature on a proclamation and the Attorney General's signature on a warrant to which a list of names is attached. Case in point, you know, look at how Biden talks about people who are, you know, conservative or Trump supporters or whatever, and you find it deeply disturbing. You know, any of them, you just say, oh, let's put all them in a FEMA camp. That's, it's almost too simple. And I really find it, to say the least, you know, it's something that really raises way, way too many questions as to why this organization has such broad sweeping power like this. The Rex 84 program was established on the reasoning that if a mass exodus or illegal aliens essentially cross the Mexican-U.S. border, you know, which nowadays doesn't seem to be the biggest issue that they're really concentrating on, never mind the fact that it does bring, you know, like, you know, human trafficking but increases when you have unopened borders, as does drug trafficking, as does all sorts of other factors. They would be quickly rounded up and detained in detention camps, centers by FEMA. RX-84 allowed many military bases to be closed down and to be turned into these prisons. Operational Cable Splicer and Garden Plot are the two sub-programs which will be implemented once the RX-84 is initiated for its proper purpose. Garden Plot is the program to control the population. Cable Splicer is the program for an orderly takeover of the state and local governments by the federal government. FEMA is the executive arm of the coming police state and thus will head up all operations. The presidential executive orders already listed on the Federal Register also are part of the legal framework for this particular operation. As I said before, you know, with Walmart, I mean, Walmart's insidious. I'm sorry. I mean, there are actual textbooks how, you know, that, you know, Walmart wrecks the economy first and foremost. I mean, there, you can actually go to colleges and there are textbooks on this. I'm not going to argue that they're wrong on that, because I've seen Walmart where, you know, Walmart comes to town, all of a sudden, next thing you know, half of the town dries up, you know, where, you know, they had like the local businesses and everything else, and it dries up. So for instance, where I grew up in, you know, like my mom's family grew up in and everything, I remember, you know, there used to be things like Roses and Kmart and stuff like that. The next thing you know, Walmart comes to town and a lot of these local businesses did dry up. And I literally saw it right before my very eyes and I hated it. I was like, this is horrible. These businesses have been there for 30, 40 years and all of a sudden they can't compete because Walmart decided to come to town and put these mom and pop businesses out of commission essentially. And the thing about it is if you go to these local businesses 10 times over, are you likely to have a better quality product? Quite possibly a product you may not be able to get anywhere else, by the way. You know, but everybody's wanting the cheap made in China kind of stuff. Now these camps, you know, they all have railroad facilities, and this is as well as roads leading to and from the detention facilities. Now many also have an airport nearby. The majority of these camps can house a population of roughly 20,000 people. Currently the largest of these facilities is just outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. The Alaskan facility is a massive mental health facility and can hold approximately 2 million people. See, that's really scary. You know, I mean, with the way things are, I mean, a lot of the people that, you know, have a certain mindset, they look at other people as having, you know, mental illness and everything else. But it's really, to me, like the mentally ill people that don't question this stuff, that just, you know, go along with the narratives that are being published and pushed and everything else. And it doesn't matter what the topic happens to be. There's always going to be this, you know, these people say, oh, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. And it deters people from actually really kind of looking up saying, oh, it's, you know, right there. And, you know, wait a minute here. It says, now, the reviewing of the justification of any of these actions taken, executive orders associated with FEMA that would suspend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And these executive orders have been on a record for nearly 30 years and could be enacted by simply the stroke of a presidential pen. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's many times over, a lot of these politicians do not have the Americans' interest at heart. They don't, you know, they're not serving the people who initially did vote and campaign for them. They're not serving that at all. They're serving something worse, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons you know, whenever people went after Trump, it's like, well, wait a minute, have you ever seen them go after one politician in your entire life like that? Ever? Never. I mean, it's, and I'm not saying that the man was perfect. I'm not saying that I agreed with him on everything. That would be ludicrous. But, I mean, that's like saying married couples get along 24/7, 365. Now, Executive Order 10990, this would allow the government to take over all modes of transportation and control highways and seaports. Executive Order 10995 allows the government to seize and control the communication media. And in many ways, it feels like that they already do, with them censoring things and banning this and banning that. It gets to be, you know, absurd, you know, especially like with the far, you know, people on the far, far left, which like they want to censor and ban this, that, and the other. And after a while, you're like, is there, I mean, I recently found an article where they're literally trying to ban Aretha Franklin over the song Natural Woman, which incidentally was actually written by Carole King. You know, it's absurd where they're wanting to cancel this and ban this. And it's like, after a while, you want to ask, is there anything they're not trying to censor, cancel, or ban? You know, so just, it's crazy. Anyways, the Executive Order 10997 allows the government to take over all electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuels, minerals, and natural resources, stuff like that. So it, there again, I mean, for what reason are, I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's it after a while, and with the fact that we have like Bill Gates buying up like farmland and stuff like that, I mean, like, he's already trying to take over our food supply with his wonderful vaccines of his. I don't understand how it is he got to be so much, so powerful, where essentially, I mean, he just takes things and patents, and that's what he's made his money off of. Now, Executive Order 10998 allows the government to seize all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, vehicles of any kind, total control over highways, seaports, and waterways. Executive Order 10999 allows the government to take over all of food resources and farms, which essentially sounds like what they're doing in a lot of areas. Especially like with Monsanto being, you know, another, it feels like another arm of the government where, you know, they'll, you know, do all sorts of stuff with GMOs and everything else. Executive Order 11000 allows the government to mobilize civilians into work brigades under government supervision. That is, oh God, I mean, this is really, really scary stuff. Executive Order 11001 allows the government to take over all health, education, and welfare functions. You know, with all the stuff that's going on in this public education now, you know, all this indoctrination, it feels like that already kind of is that. And I mean, I'm not saying that that's necessarily happened, but what I am saying, it's paralleling a lot. Executive Order 11002 designates the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. Yikes. That's like the, you know, Jews during the Holocaust and everything, where they're, you know, basically registering all people who happen to be Jewish or something. I mean, it's, oh, geez. Executive Order 11003 allows the government to take over all the airports and aircraft, including commercial aircrafts. So, you know, flights out of the country. They nearly did that with, you know, the pandemic in 2020. And 11004 allows the housing and financial authorities to relocate communities, build new housing with public funds, designated areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations. Executive Order 11005 allows the government to take over all railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. Yikes again. See, that's the thing where it feels more and more at times like the government's having way more power than they really should. I mean, essentially speaking, the government was designed to answer to the people. And does this feel like they're answering to the people? No. Executive Order 11005-1, specifically the responsibility of the Office of Emergency Planning, gives authorization to put all executive orders into effect in times of increased international tensions and economic or financial crisis. Executive Order 11310 grants authority to the Department of Justice to enforce the plans set out in executive orders to institute industrial support to establish a judicial and legislative liaison to control all aliens, to operate penal and correctional institutions, and to advise, and this is the president. Executive Order 110049 assigns emergency preparedness function to federal departments and agencies, consolidating 21 operative executive orders issued over a 15-year period. Whew. Man. And then there's Executive Order 11921, which allows the Federal Emergency Management Agency to develop a plan to establish control over the mechanics of production and distribution of energy sources, wages, salaries, credit, and the flow of money in the U.S. financial institution and in the unidentified national emergency. It also provides that when a state of emergency is declared by the president, that Congress cannot review the action for 6 months. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has broad powers, which in every aspect of the nation, it said General Frank Salzito, which is chief of FEMA's Civil Security Division, stated, and this is a 1983 conference that he saw, FEMA's role as a new frontier in the protection of individual government leaders, assassinations, and of civil military installations from sabotaging or attacking, as well as preventing of dissident groups from gaining access to U.S. opinion or global audience in times of crisis. FEMA's powers were consolidated by the President, President Carter, to incorporate the National Security Act of 1947, which allowed for strategic relocation of industries, services, governments, and other central functions. In 1950, Defense Production Act gives the President sweeping power over all aspects of the economy. Oh boy. An act of August the 29th, 1916. Wow. Authorizes the secrecy of the Army in times of war to take possession of any transportation system for transporting troops, material, or any other proposed related to the emergency. Jeez. I had absolutely no idea. I mean, and then there's one, that International Emergency Economic Powers Act, that enables the president to simply seize the property of a foreign country or nation. These powers were transferred to FEMA in a sweeping consolidation in 1979. And, I mean, this just goes on and on. I mean, during President Reagan era, he assigned a presidential director number 54 in April of 1984. Now, this simply would allow FEMA to activate secret national readiness exercise. This exercise was given the code, REX-84. The purpose of the exercise was to test FEMA's ability to assume military authorization. REX-84 was so highly guarded that special metal doors were installed on the fifth floor of the FEMA building in Washington, D.C., and the only people that were allowed to enter the premises were ones who had a red Christian cross on their shirt. The exercise required the following: suspension of the Constitution of the United States, turning control of the government over to FEMA, appointing of military commanders to run state and local governments, declaration of martial law. Here's what I have found. This is what somebody has found so far. And I said we'd continue to update this for, to look at the, for that now. But it says every state, including, every state in the United States anyways, has FEMA camps. And that's deeply concerning. I mean, with what I just read, it's crazy. I'm like, that's too much power for, them to be having, and just, right there ready and everything, Now, we've talked about the idea that there have been FEMA coffins for a long time, and it's shown up on a lot of things, including Jesse Ventura's show. It's shown up on Alex Jones, and I even talked about that in one of the newer episodes of The X-Files, where FEMA's basically been acquiring all sorts of coffins and everything. And mind you, there's a lot of articles out there which seek to completely debunk that idea. But then that goes back to the idea where they're almost like proving the point in a lot of ways, where if you actually look at, some of these things, as far as the media and everything, a lot of the media is in fact controlled by, the government or the banks or whatever it is, to debunk things and, propagandize other things. And so it goes into the whole, narrative rather of right there, they're proving that point of government controlled media. Just look at, most of the movies and the TV shows and even the music nowadays, it's always, trying to propagandize us in some form or some fashion. And I've always appreciated, I guess you could say narratives or, TV shows or movies or, for that matter, music that does seek to question that narrative, or at least, maybe poke holes through that narrative and say, look, what's really happening. And I'm not saying that there aren't writers and, producers and, even actors that understand this and, do want to expose, what's been going on for a long, long time, unbeknownst to many of your average everyday, working, people here in the United States, if not over the entire world. There are dozens and dozens of videos out there of people who have seen weird things at Walmart and, having like all like almost like the fencing style that they have in prisons and things of that nature. So that begs the question of what in the world is going on, with some of these things. I mean, I'm not going to say all these people are wrong because, I'm not them and I haven't seen what they have seen. It begs the question of how many people who basically are saying the truth, who are showing what they are able to see on things like TikTok and YouTube and stuff like that. And how does this, fit in against the narrative? And of course, automatically there's all these like, fact checkers, which fact checkers is just another way of, controlling the media. And always, I hate the term fact checkers. I absolutely detest it. If anything, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me personally speaking. Where it's like the idea is, okay, you got this topic and then all of a sudden they're going to say it's incorrect. And it's like every single time it never fails. It's all you could actually bet money on, make money off of that a lot faster than you could in a game in Vegas, honestly speaking. But it never fails. But that being said, there's got to be something to this Walmart having underground tunnels. I've seen the actual videos, so I know for a fact, and this is based on a video of the truck driver, I've seen what they're able to see, and it's creepy, and it's scary, and it's like, why in the world would they be having underground tunnels the way that they are? For what purpose? No retail chain, heck, even Target, does not even have underground tunnels, at least not to my knowledge. That begs the question of for what purpose? And like I said, Walmart's one of the largest retail chains that I could think of. And increasingly, more and more, they have come under fire for a multitude of things. Everything from, some of the things that they promote in their clothing and some of, their labor law practices and things of that nature. And as I said before, there are actual textbooks talking about how Walmart wrecks the economy. So, my question is, what is Walmart really up to? And because they seem to be very, they don't even try to sugarcoat it. They don't even try to hide it, it seems. But with them possibly having underground tunnels and everything, I mean, that raises up a bunch of other red flags, honestly speaking, because, we already know that first and foremost, that they pay their employees enough to keep them on welfare. They don't pay them actual decent wages or anything. So many of their employees are on welfare, food stamps, whatever it is. And so if you're going to the voting polls, you do vote with your dollar more than you actually vote at the voting polls. And so this includes the idea of going to companies that support this or don't support this or whatever it is. And so I'm always trying to tell people is that, all right, if you really truly want to vote without going to the voting polls or if it's not an election that year, whatever happens to be, really look into these companies and see what they're promoting. If they're promoting something that you're completely 100% against and you go to the voting polls because of that particular subject or that particular idea, philosophy, or whatever it is, looking to see these companies, if these companies are promoting it, you're still voting for it, regardless of, you know, it being an election or you going to a voting pool or whatever. So, for instance, Walmart, I mean, I don't think that the company initially started off like that. I mean, I remember in the mid-80s in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we got our first Walmart down there, and I guess I went down there. I went there with my parents because, you know, it was a big deal at the time, and, you know, we wanted to check it out and everything. I thought it was interesting, but I also thought it was daunting, you know, and I still, you know, if I go by like a Walmart, I get like freaked out and nervous, and not just because of the fact that I know about the whole FEMA camp thing and all that other good such, just basically the size and the magnitude of the store itself. And then, you know, and I guess a lot of it can be about also like how much things have changed since that point. You know, I mean, I remember going into like Walmart back in the 90s with my dad and everything. And obviously times were different back then. And people were a lot nicer and a lot of other factors. But it's just, I mean, for me, it's one of those things where I just, you know, find it really, I don't know, just to say the least, disturbing, you know, on a whole nother level, really. Look at Walmart's wonderful track record. I mean, they've been sued for allegedly dumping over a million hazardous items into sewers, and they have pled guilty during environmental crimes. They admit, I mean, civil wrongdoings. I mean, their company has broken the law multiple times. And, you know, and this is what kills me, where people still want to, you know, contribute their money to it and everything. Like, go buy from a local, you know, shop owner, you know, go specifically for, you know, a really nice clothing store or something better or something like that. I understand people are trying to save their money and, you know, whatever, and it's, money's not easy. And I get that, but it shouldn't be, you know, this ridiculous, you know, hard to find, you know, good quality products and everything. And whether it's, you know, going to an actually decent, you know, grocery store, because there's all these Walmart grocery stores that are propping up too. And, you know, of course, you know, it's like they're giving the other grocery stores, you know, obviously a giant run for their money as well. And, but the thing about it is, are you getting the best value for your money? And I've always been about the idea of, you know, if you're going to pay your hard-earned money for something, it better be a really good value. So in other words, it shouldn't be like you getting ripped off and you not getting much more for your money, you know, or a lot less for your money, which is quite frankly what a lot of these retail establishments have done. I mean, Walmart quite frankly makes Kmart look like Montgomery Ward. Honestly, it makes, you know, the older places that I remember used to going to, like Roses or Kmart, was, and that was a precursor to Walmart, obviously. You know, they were like much smaller and they weren't nearly as huge and gigantic and monstrous as Walmart is. And like I said, you go into these stores and it's just like, and the bad thing is you can never, you know, they're huge, but you can never find anyone to truly, you know, help you or whatever. And not to mention, I've seen the video of that one woman where she literally quits on the intercom and everything. And just, it's been circulating a lot, like on TikTok and stuff like that, where she literally like blasts like the entire, you know, people that she worked with over at Walmart. And it's like, what a way to go. And I mean, I totally get it, because, you know, if they're not paying their employees a living wage, you know, and then you got these people that, you know, don't understand the law or how the law works whenever it comes to customers, and sit there and actually put their hands on their card and try to prevent them from leaving. Legally speaking, you're not supposed to put your hands on their cart and prevent them from leaving. You can actually sue over that kind of stuff. And I've seen multiple videos of them doing that. So clearly their employees are, you know, not being taught, you know, good practices whenever it comes to business and everything. And I'm not downgrading any of their employees and everything. I know that everybody's having, you know, a hard time and everything. What I am downgrading is how Walmart handles things. You know, they just allow stuff to happen and occur and then deal with it later. And it's like, so there's like there's this giant conglomerate. And this is not like a podcast about me going off on Walmart necessarily, but it's just like they've done so many things where I'm just like, guys, why are we still putting money into these corporations that do these monstrous things? It's kind of like the idea where, you know, people start buying, you know, Balenciaga, and we've already determined that Balenciaga and their owners are into some very creepy, very nefarious, very just wrongdoing stuff. And, you know, as a society, how do we continue, you know, to buy, you know, products and make sure that the products are from people that actually do try to do ethical things as far as their business practices are concerned. That being said, what do you guys think the FEMA coffin camps are, or FEMA coffin pictures, rather, are? I mean, it literally does show the coffins being almost looking like, I guess you say, one of those Rubbermaid storage boxes you can get. And, you know, it's really disturbing with all the stuff that they keep wanting to roll out. You know, Bill Gates is already talking about the next pandemic. Of course, he's talking about the next pandemic. He's the one that's basically essentially making sure that the next pandemic or plandemic, as I keep calling it, does occur. And so my question is this. How does Walmart fit into this? Because obviously there's something there, you know, with the, first of all, their business practices and things of that nature. And like I said, there's a lot of companies out there that have really bad business practices and whatever. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily linked to FEMA coffin camps and, you know, things like that. It's just, there's a lot more to the story. And obviously, if you go looking for it, a lot of it, you know, they'll sit there and say, oh, this doesn't exist. This doesn't exist. I say, okay, great. What about all the people who say that they've seen videos of it? What about, that's just like the idea of, doesn't matter what it is, fill in the blank, it could be UFOs, whatever. There's always people who say, oh, this isn't real, that's not real. And I'm always like, how in the world can you sit there with a straight face and say that it's not real when obviously people have seen it or experienced it or whatever? And it's really a scary thing to uncover. And it's like, you know, obviously, you know, I think at this point, FEMA would probably have to admit it just because of the fact that there's been way too many people that have seen it and made videos of it, and it has shown up. And it's like, it's, you know, it's nothing to be toyed around with. I mean, if that's, you know, if something is being, you know, deeply planned under the guise of, you know, hey, we're trying to help you, we're here for your security and your health and safety and everything else, you know, how does that, I mean, I understand the idea of not wanting, if something were to happen, I understand the idea of like to not try to create mass panic. I can maybe wrap my head around that. But if it seems like that they're, it's almost like they're stockpiling and planning for something. And I'm like, that would be terrible, you know, for them to essentially turn on the American people and everything. And mind you, you know, a lot of the people that are in FEMA are obviously Americans. But I mean, I sincerely hope that they would never turn on the American people just because, you know, everybody has family, quite frankly. You know, we all have some people that, you know, we care about in life, whether it's our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, our sons, daughters, whatever it is. Now, it does say that apparently FEMA had ordered over $1 billion worth of disposable cough or liners. And the question, of course, was why have they ordered and stockpiled like $1 billion worth of disposable coffin liners, 14 million body bags, etc. Now, this is not to scare anybody. The last thing I want to do with my podcast is, you know, be all doom and gloom and scare the living bejesus out of people. You know, because I do really do want people to be, you know, more positive, energetically speaking, and more spiritually connected by listening to my podcast. I don't want for people to simply just give up and say, well, we're doomed or whatever it is. That's the last thing I want to do. The best thing I want to do on my podcast is literally to inform the listener about whatever topic it happens to be. And mind you, all these topics in some weird way are connected and some, you know, connected to each other. They are. I mean, it's really strange while I was thinking about this, where I'm looking at all the topics that I've been doing and that I'm going to do for the podcast and realizing, well, crap, they're all weirdly connected in some strange way. You know, like, I mean, I'm really a believer of a lot of things, and I've been researching a lot of things for a long time. You know, like, I've known for the longest time not to, you know, deal with the CDC or for that matter, hell, if the FDA and the USDA are completely 100% corrupt and things like that, and they're not to be trusted. I mean, just look at our food supply and, you know, look at how everything has just manifested itself in such a strange way. And, you know, let's face it, not to mention, you know, the world and the United States have gone in a very, very odd and very scary, very strange direction since 9/11 happened. And I remember, you know, like I said, from my generation, I wasn't around whenever Kennedy was shot or Martin Luther King Jr. I was, however, around whenever 9/11 occurred. And so for what I keep saying is that 9/11 is my generation's, you know, John F. Kennedy assassination, essentially speaking. Because anybody who was around whenever Kennedy was, you know, shot, they remember exactly what they were doing and what time it was and all sorts of other factors whenever they heard. And same thing with 9/11. I remember, you know, like how scary it was. Like there was hardly anybody out on the road. I mean, it was just, it was so, it was like you could have heard a pin drop on the highway. You could have heard a pin drop going up and down the road. I mean, it was a really weird time. And it was really scary. And it's like, you know, I guess it was like a realization that the United States is not immune to, you know, weird stuff. I mean, we've already kind of experienced it with, you know, what happened in Oklahoma. What happened in Oklahoma with the, in Waco, Texas, or, you know, places like that, where it's like, okay, that's, you know, nothing compared to 9/11. And what's really sad, and nowadays, for whatever reason, we got this younger generation that thinks that what happened on January the 6th of last year was worse than 9/11. Like, are you people kidding? You can't be serious. What happened on 9/11 was, you know, terrible. You know, people died, you know, I mean, and they're saying that January 6th was worse for the country. Are you people kidding? I mean, yeah, boy, you know, it's, and that goes into the idea where they're being so heavily indoctrinated, you know, by, you know, these teachers and the professors about how to think and, you know, not to think for themselves and not to question and just fall in line. And next thing they have absolutely no like compassion or empathy. And it's like, that's what they've bred. And it's like, If I was these kids' parent, I would be livid if they even thought that January 6th was worse than 9/11. I'd be like, wait a minute here. 9/11 was a serious situation. And it still is, actually. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, look how much of our rights that we have lost and given away, you know, freely after 9/11. And look how much stuff has come out and, you know, has been uncovered since 9/11. So, I mean, as I keep saying, the truth has an energy and it wants to be known. And, you know, 9/11 is a terrible act and everything, but do I believe it was done by some guy in a cave? No. You know, I mean, I'm just like, yeah, wait a minute here. That doesn't add up. Mind you, and just thinking about this, you know, I mean, obviously them showing the coffins and the body bags and everything, yeah, that many years ago, does suggest that the possibility of something like maybe the plandemic, as I keep calling it that, was exactly that, plandemic. If they're, you know, using, like, for instance, the body bags and, you know, the disposable coffins, you know, they've got a considerable amount, so they're obviously going to use it for something, you know, and that begs the question of, we're going to use it for something, and it's obviously that we're, you know, hoping to have those numbers a lot higher for, you know, the pandemic and everything, where, you know, they're hoping to have, like, you know, more people dying of COVID-19, and they didn't want those natural remedies such as hydroxychloroquine and zinc coming out and proving, hey, you can actually cure yourself through natural means, that the body actually has that natural capacity to be able to heal itself. Now, and then, of course, the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want for people to actually understand that, let alone even know that. So it goes into the whole thing where, you know, the USDA and the FDA is completely, you know, balled out and everything else. So it's none of it. It goes into the whole thing where you realize all that, and then you're like, well, the FDA and the USDA and all that is completely 100% irrelevant. I mean, just look at what they're trying to do now with natural cures, natural remedies. They're trying to make that stuff illegal. And, you know, and that's a really disturbing fact, is because they don't want, you know, people to actually have these remedies, which right there says, you know, that they're looking at, you know, the idea of population control. Why else would they want to have, you know, such a, I guess you could say, a control over everything. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, they've gotten to this whole thing where they're controlling more and more stuff. I mean, everything from the fact that we see, read, hear, ingest, diet, whatever. And, you know, basically, they are completely going against the Constitution, you know, and it's, you know, and it's really disturbing that, you know, like I said, people, you know, they vote and support and, you know, candidates, and hopefully that they're, you know, really going to have the American people's best interest at heart, you know, and I hope that for every country that, you know, that they, and it seems like that they're doing that in a lot of other countries where they're waking up and they're realizing how much control the government has over their lives and how much these organizations and things like that really truly have over them, you know, and it's, I mean, it breaks my heart because of the fact that nobody, you know, we shouldn't be living in a system of being a slave to, you know, these organizations, these companies. Well, you can only do this because the FDA said so. Like, I didn't elect them. Who were they to tell me how to do this, you know? And it gets to this whole, you know, giant argument, if you would, of who are they to, you know, tell me, you know, to do this, do that. I mean, just look at what the CDC did. I mean, they forced people out of their jobs. They forced people out of their homes. You know, families broke up over this, over, you know, whether or not to get a vaccine or not. And so my thing is, you know, if you, they found out, hey, they're creating these, you know, FEMA camps, and everybody, of course, you know, who are vaccinated, they're probably going to be like, oh, the unvaccinated will go there or whatever. And it could be everybody goes there, you know, possibly. And I would hate that. I would never want to put that out there to anybody. Just because I don't think, you know, I mean, you want to talk about like a health scare, putting a bunch of people together like that in one place. It's a very, very dangerous notion. And, you know, but it, like I said, I mean, it's really scary at the fact that, you know, they have so much control and power over how we communicate with each other, how we say things and what we say. I mean, just look at the language thing right now, where the whole language thing is being policed so heavily now, where it's like, if you don't address somebody, he, she, her, them, they, all of a sudden you're being not just canceled, but you're being financially punished. You're being, you know, legislated by it and whatever. I mean, so it goes into the whole idea where, you know, like, for instance, like I said, FEMA's got this huge sweeping power, and you already heard about the executive orders based on FEMA. And I'm like, I've heard about this, like I said, back in the 90s, you know, whenever, you know, you watch movies like, the, you know, The X-Files Fight the Future, which quite frankly, I think is probably one of the more educational movies that came out during the 1990s, honestly. If you really listen to what they're talking about and what they're saying and how it's presented, you almost, like, you start to think, it sounds like to me, and I don't want to say predictive programming, because I know a lot of people go with that, you know, narrative where, you know, like, The Simpsons predicted this, The Simpsons predicted that. I don't know if it's so much predictive programming or if it's just the people, the writers and the producers and possibly even the actors and the directors really wanted some information to get out there. And, of course, they put it out there in the guise of fiction or science fiction or however it is, marketing-wise, the movie is done. You know, so it's, I don't want to just simply jump to that conclusion of it being predictive programming. I understand where people get that from and, you know, how that works. But what if they're trying to, like, alert us? What if they're trying to pre-warn us? And not so much to get us used to the notion of it, you know, like a lot of people were suggesting with, you know, a lot of movies based on aliens. So next thing everybody's like, oh, comfortable with the idea of aliens. I'm like, I think we've been comfortable with the idea of aliens. I think we've, I mean, you know, you start looking at all the evidence throughout the entire world upon it, you know, you can't just simply, you know, all of a sudden say, oh, we're the only ones in the entire world. Oh, please. You know, how arrogant are we? So it's the same idea where with the FEMA camps and with Walmart, you know, how does that work? You know, obviously they're connected in some way. You know, everything is connected to some way or another. And it seems like these are a lot more closely connected than we actually initially had thought. I mean, it's, you know, to find out that, you know, they're closing all these stores. And, you know, I remember, you know, seeing a TV show one time where, you know, they closed up this bar under the pretense that they had like renovations that they were going to do, and then they opened it back up and nothing had changed, and they're like, okay. So it's questionable, to say the least. So in other words, how do we find out what Walmart truly is up to? I mean, obviously this is a company that's done some very unscrupulous things, you know, just, you know, with some, many of the laws that they've broken. And I know like a lot of other companies have broken many, many laws. And I think that they should all truly be held accountable for them. I mean, with things like, you know, endangering the environment, or how they treat their workers and things like that, or, you know, God forbid if they're involved with human trafficking. I mean, that's just going to be like another nail in the coffin. And people really need to understand, you know, what might be happening. I mean, I've heard so many horror stories about the idea of going into Walmart and, you know, women, you should watch it. I mean, I personally wonder if those stores are too big for what they do. I mean, they barely have enough employees in there as it is to really truly help you, let alone people go vanishing and missing and all sorts of other factors. So there's a really strange, creepy element to Walmart, you know, as far as people going in. So all I can say is, you know, whenever people go in there, you know, you should definitely be, you know, very cautious and aware of your surroundings at any and all times. And John, not just that, but look at their parking lot, for crying out loud. It's always very, you know, very large, and, you know, lots of people and everything else. I mean, not, you know, mind you, I'm not saying that location and community and, you know, things of that factor don't play a role into it, and they definitely do. But as far as, you know, this is concerned, I mean, this is a whole nother kettle of fish. You know, if they are involved with, you know, the FEMA coffin camps and things of that nature, and that's disturbing. That should disturb literally anybody that happens to listen to this podcast, you know, and for them to really start investigating and taking a look. I want to know what you guys find. I mean, I'm curious because, you know, anytime I talk about any of the subjects that I, you know, research and talk about and everything else, I mean, no matter how you dice it up, I mean, you can major in this stuff in college, you know, whatever, or write an article, whatever, read a book, you're still skimming the surface. And there's always more to be had, more information out there to be had based upon that. And, you know, in order to get the truth, in order to get the full truth, nothing but, you know, a lot of times we have to dive a lot deeper. You know, so it's, I'm constantly looking into something, but this is something that I've known about for a while. And whenever I found out about it, I used to try not to have nightmares about it. I mean, it really did freak me out. You know, because not just for myself, but for anybody. I mean, I wouldn't want this for anyone because it's disturbing. I mean, I've always been about the idea of, you know, basic human rights, civil liberties, and things like that. And these are things that are honestly protected by the Constitution. But for them to be able to suspend the Constitution, that's, I'm sorry, that's just way, way, way too much power there. You know, And it sounds more to me like the military industrial complex is just simply trying to, you know, cover their rear ends, quite frankly, you know, where they're trying to show or exert, you know, their power and show their authority and everything else. And as I've told people before, you know, president is merely just a figurehead. He can only do this so much. And then it has to, you know, go through Congress and everything else. At least that's what we're led to believe. Now, that being said, with FEMA, it sounds like a whole nother animal. Honestly, I mean, if they're able to suspend all this and do this, that, and the other, they seem to have the upper hand on that. But it's up for us to have the upper hand by educating ourselves and researching things to understand how things work, function, and possibly, you know, look at counter and preventative measures on this, you know, whether, you know, we, you know, prepare ourselves, you know, with, you know, having guns and ammunition and teaching our kids responsibilities about things and learning how to make our own food and, you know, gain our own water. And I think it's really disturbing that a lot of these places want to say that rainwater is illegal or whatever. I mean, like I said, take a look how many rights we've lost since 9/11, and we've lost a buttload of rights since 9/11. And it's really disturbing, you know, seeing that now. I mean, especially like, me being almost 50 years old at this point, where I'm like looking at things going, oh my gosh, look at all the stuff we have lost. And, you know, people have given up their rights willingly over under the guise of security. And sometimes, are you sacrificing your security for your freedoms? You know, freedom is and has never been free. You have to really earn it, and you have to really fight for it and work for it. You know, just like a good marriage. You know, like if you want to have a good marriage, and people always say marriage doesn't work. No, it's two people not working at marriage that doesn't work. Marriage within itself is fine. It's the people that are married who are not working at it, or if one's working at it and the other one's just like giving up or whatever it is. People forget that sometimes, yeah, you got to work things. You got to work on things. You got to work them out. You got to, you know, work on yourself as well. And so I guess you could say this kind of goes back to the idea of constantly improving yourself and improving what you know about the world and learning things. So that in mind, guys, take a look into this. See what you can find. Please let me know. I'm on Amazon. I'm on, you know, iHeartRadio, Spotify. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Let me know. This has been another issue of Revealing the Truth with Brandon Wells. Thank you guys so much for listening in, and I'll see you next time.